Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mbudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we get into a conversation around the mining sector in South Africa. I think earlier this year, we actually engaged with one of the law firms that was Hogan & Lovells, if I remember correctly, just around, you know, some of what had come out of this year's mining in Durban, and, you know, some of the issues, you know, that were swirling around, that event, or, you know, that people were hoping, to engage with. But for today, we're going to be still touching on an Indaba, but this is the junior mining Indaba, and then just understanding, you know, some of what's going on in that space. And then also at the same time, where something like this fits, in the ecosystem, and some of the, I guess, discussions that I had on a platform like that. To make sense of it all, we are joined by Mihlali Sitefane, who is the founder of Sitef & Co. And we're just going to be getting some insight into all of that. Mihlali, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mudiwa. Thank you for having me.
So let's get a couple of things, you know, out of the way, right? Starting off with Sitef & Co., right? Maybe you could give us the elevator pitch on Sitef & Co. and then your interest when it comes to, the junior Indaba.
Hey, wonderful. So Sitef & Co. is a specialist natural resources and energy law firm. And that basically means we focus on mining, oil and gas, environmental law, and energy law. And that's what we thrive in. We basically are advising right from the regulatory aspect and support miners and explorers from, exploration phase right up until production and actually into beneficiation. We advise in country, but we also advise companies in other African jurisdictions. So that's what we do.
All right, great. So when we think about where you guys have positioned yourself as a firm, right? When I was preparing for this particular session, the junior Indaba, I will admit that I didn't know too much about it. And I would imagine that that is the case for a number of people that are also out there and perhaps listening to this session, and they might be keen to understand, you know, what is the junior Indaba? What is the relationship to, you know, this machine called, the mining Indaba? And I guess, what is the difference?
Sure. So the junior Indaba is basically a crucial platform for junior miners, you know, to discuss the status of the mining sector, the challenges, opportunities in the sector, and including those factors where, you know, what would enable them to enter the sector and to thrive in the sector. And so it's basically a platform where, you know, investors, industry experts, government representatives come together to discuss major themes that are impacting on junior miners. And so I think it's distinguishable from the mining Indaba because it has different organizers. And also the size is comparably different. The junior Indaba is much smaller, but I think it's still really important because junior mining companies play such an important role in our mining sector. And in fact, research reveals that most of our mining and prospecting rights currently are held by junior miners, and about $88 billion in 2022 was generated in revenue from junior miners. And so that's why it's important that these platforms are created.
I do have to ask, when the moment we say junior miner, right? I have to ask about what do we mean by junior miners? Is there a scale? You know, do I become a senior, you know, at some point? Like, yeah, just to understand, because I guess, in all seriousness, I'm guessing that it sort of has to do with I'm guessing these would be the SMEs of the mining world.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more complex by just saying SME, because SME has a certain, you know, revenue threshold. I think junior miners are classified as junior miners when they are compared to your large scale miners. I think South Africa is accustomed or known all over the world by its large scale mining companies. And I think those are the companies who have really contributed to our economy, both historically and even now. So junior miners, right, there's a spectrum of junior miners, but I think when you're thinking junior miner, you're thinking of someone whose production and books are significantly different or smaller than the large scale mining companies, which would be your Anglo-Americans, your Sibanye's, your Harmonies, which are your larger scale companies. These are the smaller entrants into the market who are, some of them are still penetrating, but you've also got really successful junior miners who are actually making a lot of money and contributing significantly, but they are not at the size of your large scale miners. So it's very hard to pinpoint a figure. There's a spectrum. Even among junior miners, there's a massive spectrum.
So when it comes to what we're looking at then, a gathering such as this, right? And I think just for the benefit of anyone who's listening, when is the junior Indaba? And now that we sort of understand what we mean by junior miner and what the platform is hoping to achieve, right? What type of players tend to be there? Because one of the things I've appreciated about the main mining Indaba is the fact that it's not only miners. You have a lot of either ancillary service providers, you know, downstream service providers, and all of these other types of businesses that are either part of or parallel to mining. So, you know, maybe you could just contextualize for us from a junior Indaba point of view.
Sure. Just to start with, it's happening on the 21st and the 2nd and the 22nd of May in Johannesburg. And it's got your junior miners, like you said, it's got investors, people who are looking to invest in mining operations. You are looking at your lenders. Your banks are also going to be represented there. You've got government representatives to sort of give a voice to what government is thinking. You've got industry experts who come out, who are like legal experts like me. But you've also got your consulting firms, your financial institutions. And so it's a broad scope. You've also got some of your key stakeholders in the industry, like your associations, that are there representing certain interests around the entire value chain. And so I think you're correct in saying that, you know, so many different people are going to be there. Right across the value chain, and that's the beauty about mining. Mining doesn't just stop at when the ore is separated from the ground or extracted from the ground. It actually provides opportunities right from extraction to processing in your value chain, and so many different people plug in at different points to give value to the sector. And so that's who is going to be there next week.
Okay, cool. When it comes to, are you part of the planning committee in any way? Are you, I guess we're still trying to just gauge your interest when it comes to this, or is it simply because this is a sector that you are specializing in, you know, where your interest lies when it comes to the junior Indaba?
So apart from the fact that this is my favorite sector in the world, and I have the privilege of practicing every day in relation to this, I think my specific involvement is in actually being there, being part of the discussions, contributing to the discussions in the room, networking, get a sense of what is actually happening on the ground, and what people are thinking and the way forward for the country as a whole, and to just get a general sentiment of the industry and how the outlook looks for the next year. And I take it, you know, I take these gatherings rather very seriously, and I actually make sure I attend them on an annual basis because of the benefits that they actually bring and the benefit that I'm able to contribute to these, you know, discussions.
All right, cool. You know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about the contribution numbers that you provided at the beginning, just around how big, you know, junior mining is. Please, could you just remind me of some of the numbers that you, you know, that you made reference to just now?
Sure. So in 2022, junior miners generated about 88 billion in revenue, right? And which is up from 54 billion in 2018. So you can see that the sector is growing, number one. And you can also see that their contribution is very significant in our economy.
Okay, cool. And the reason I'm asking that is because one of the biggest things that I'm sure myself and others would be wanting to get some education on is this 88 billion, right? What type of activities or, you know, type of mining are we looking at? Is it the usual gold PGM, you know, type of dynamic that we see with the larger miners? Is it maybe other, you know, other elements that are being mined? You know, is this product that's being consumed in South Africa? Is it being exported to other countries? Yeah, maybe you could give us a little bit of color around that.
Sure. So I would firstly say that, you know, junior miners are operating across all of the minerals, right? And they are mining different minerals. And some of them do a bit of deep mining. But most of them are, you're looking at open cast or tailings facilities or, you know, some mines that are not that significantly deep. So firstly, that's it. So it would cover, you know, your coal, it would cover your PGMs, it would cover your chrome, it would cover your gold in some instances, particularly with tailings facilities. So it's actually quite a massive range. And I think the collective of them acting in these small efforts are then able to generate this massive number. I think some of them are certainly, oh, yeah.
No, so sorry, apologies for that. You know, you can continue.
Okay, no problem. And just to answer your export question, yes, some of them are exporting. And it's just really, it's driven by the markets, really, when and where things are. There was a stage when coal was being exported at an exponential rate, particularly due to global political issues. And then you've got some of the material being sold off to some of the larger mining companies. And then some of the other material is also used within South Africa. So it's sort of a combination of everything.
And the specific types of minerals that are being mined?
Oh, as I was saying, it's pretty vast. So you've got your coal, you've got your gold, you've got your chrome, you've got your PGMs. It's incredibly vast. So you can't even box them and say, this is what junior miners mine. And I think knowing that South Africa is one of the most mineral rich countries in the world, you can imagine all of the access. And I mean, you've also got your diamonds, your precious metals. So it's you can't box it.
All right. The reason I keep asking about, you know, the type of minerals, when it comes to being a junior miner, one of the things that I'm now curious about is for someone who's entering the mining sector, are there any go-tos that people, you know, tend to gravitate towards, perhaps their cost considerations, where perhaps setting up a gold mine or a coal mine is cheaper than setting up other mines? Because, you know, when you're talking smaller operators, they're usually, everyone is trying to get the most bang for your buck. But if you're a smaller operator, you're a bit more sensitive to some of those things as well.
Yes. So I would say coal is one of the easier minerals to mine. And because a lot of it can be mined at surface level, open cast level. And so that means that you don't have to sink in a lot of investment in order to actually mine the coal and access the coal. So the deeper your mine, the higher your costs of production. So that's essentially the formula, you know. What we've also seen is some of the material that might have been deep, like your gold, and it's getting deeper, the more people mine out the gold, is that you have tailings facilities like stockpiles. I think if you drive around many of the areas, even if you're driving like right down, as if you're going to Soweto, you'll see some of those stockpiles. If you're driving to any of the mining towns in Witbank, for example, in Malahleni, you'll see some stockpiles. So basically stockpiles is material that has been stockpiled and basically mined out and put in a big heap, if I can put it like that. And sometimes that stockpile is owned by the person who mined it, but sometimes it's not, or that tailings facility. And so people can then acquire rights and are able to then process at a cheaper rate those stockpiles or those tailings facility, and then they get their material. And so it's a combination, and it's also a combination about where are you located. So if you are in KZN, you are unlikely to want to move your material and everything and come mine in Emalahleni. So we find that also people tend to mine in areas that are closest to them, especially junior miners. Of course, if you are expanding and you want to invest in other areas, you will do that, but that takes money. So it depends where each junior miner wants to play.
All right. I'm going to switch gears for a moment and ask you a question that I've had on my mind for a couple of years now. And it's off of the back of the description that you've just given about the different type of mining that, you know, that exists in South Africa. You know, who can mine what, you know, where do you normally see what activity, I guess the type of infrastructure that you need to have around you to make things happen. I've noticed that a number of mining houses have people that began their careers as lawyers, as their CEO. Is there a reason for that?
Lawyers make great CEOs. That's it. Lawyers make the best CEOs. I know there's people who would argue with me and say engineers do. But I certainly think when you understand the regulatory framework, when you're able to transact, when you are able to make money by knowing how to take advantage of opportunities, then you are certainly going to make a great leader. And so I think, yes, there are people who have made, you know, who have made their buck and who have become CEOs, but certainly I do think it's a character trait. I think you either have it or you don't. And I think some of the CEOs who have been really at the forefront and who have been lawyers before, they just really possess an eye for these things. They are able to transact. And I think when you've been involved in a number of transactions, you know a good deal when you see it. And so you're able to grow your operations, because an operation or a business is not about just starting. You want to scale it up. You want to grow it, and you want to bring people along with you. And I think lawyers know how to do that. And I think, yeah, it's wonderful.
I have this mental study that I'm currently conducting about the best careers that people can get into when you're trying to, I don't know what word to use, sort of position yourself for longevity in your particular field. I'm an economist. But the thing that I look at on a daily basis is technology, media, and telecoms, and then obviously the broader economy with platforms like this. And with a lot of startups that we look at in South Africa, especially the big ones, the ones whose names you know, I've noticed that those businesses, a lot of them are run by people that are former consultants, right? People that have come out of the McKinsey's, the Accentures of this world. So it's an interesting one to look at on that side from people that are trying to start businesses, particularly in the tech space. But once again, on the mining side, I've noticed that, you know, you do have that element of, you know, people that specialize in law, you know, making it into the C-suite. You know, at mining houses, that's just an observation. And obviously this is all against the backdrop of the fact that, you know, many of South Africa's CEOs, at least in the listed space, are chartered accountants. So I guess moving forward then, for a business such as yourself, because I understand that you are with one of the large law firms, what do you call this, before you started, you know, CTEF, maybe, how is business? I think that's a good enough question for me to ask. We won't ask you how much money you're making, but we'll just say, how is business?
No, business is good. Business is going well. And we have some incredible clients and we're working on some incredible matters. So business is going well. I think, yes, working for a large law firm does help to set you up. And my experience there was wonderful. And I've been able to translate many of the lessons that I've learned into my own business, but being able to infuse my own creativity and being able to flex myself and stretch myself in ways that I wasn't able to do before. And so I'm actually so proud of myself to be able to step out in a sector where perhaps a few decades ago, I would have not been able to, you know, to step into, and not just to step into, but to actually do well. I think I have shown over the years my ability to write articles, to be a thought leader. And I mean, I've published extensively, individually and co-authored with other people. And so I think I did build a name for myself in the market. And I think people do know me in the mining sector. And actually, I've recently been ranked by Who's Who Legal. And I think for somebody who just started their own business and who's working to grow their practice, that has been an incredible achievement. And so business is going great.
And what type of matters are you concerning yourself with, or are coming through your doors? I guess it's one of those things that helps us to understand the types of things that junior miners are probably grappling with, or at least dealing with on a daily basis.
Sure. So I'd just like to say I work for large scale miners and also the junior miners. So my practice includes both. Yeah. From a junior miner's perspective, I mean, I've seen joint ventures being established. I've drafted those agreements. I've advised on those matters in different provinces in South Africa, for example, where we're seeing junior miners coming together, pulling the resources and working together in order to establish mining operations and to extract resources. So that's been incredibly exciting. And I think for me personally, I love to see things move forward, businesses being built. People usually think about lawyers just when it's time to fight. But actually, lawyers are very important in value addition and value creation and actually building up businesses. And so that's been one of the exciting things that we've been doing. I think we've also been assisting and guiding junior miners in relation to their rights, how to acquire their rights, how to defend their rights. And so when they're wanting to explore and they are facing challenges, we step in and we do appeals for them. We've also been assisting them to attract funding and drafting those agreements and also to assist them with their compliance, with the regulatory aspects, and just to guide them. Rather, some of them have actually been looking into other countries, and there's a matter now I'm looking at in Swaziland, for example, where we're advising the establishment of a mining operation in Swaziland and getting that going and drafting those agreements with the relevant partners, et cetera, to establish those operations. So it's quite a broad scope. So we advise in response to what our clients are needing or need to be guided on.
I want to touch a little bit more on the, you mentioned helping some of the miners with financing. Of course, you are looking at both the large scale miners as well as the junior miners. So maybe you've got a good, good view. Right now in this environment, what's the appetite like when it comes to funding mining operations?
Yes, I think the first question is always who's funding, right? So there's different types of funders. You've got your banks, you've got, other entrepreneurs, you've got who are just, and then you've just got general lenders who just want to, to find a great opportunity and lend. You've got them in country and you've got them internationally. And so even funding doesn't just come from one place or doesn't just come from the bank. And which is why events like Junior Indabas, where people can network and meet people and try to get their projects going, are incredibly crucial. So from a funding perspective, I think the temperature, it's been conservative. There has been a lot of conservative approach, especially with junior miners, because you must remember junior miners, some of them are starting out, some of them don't have a great asset portfolio in which to support the funding. Some of them are still approaching some of your development banks like your IDCs to assist them to develop their projects. And it's a process. And so funding is something that's really, 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 really needed in the sector. And it just depends who you're asking, what does the asset look like, and what is that particular investor's or lender's appetite to fund that particular project. So it's not a one size fits all.
So if I'm a as luck would have it, I buy a piece of land in Mpumalanga or somewhere in the country, and I actually discover that there's possible deposits of coal, some prospecting is done, geological studies are done, and people say, hey, sir, we think that you have enough ore in the ground here, to do maybe 10 years worth of mining at, X number of tons every year. I don't know what's a good number of tons of coal, so I'm not going to pretend. But you have that at hand. The prospects look promising, and I'm like, okay, cool, but there's no infrastructure in place, and it's something that I want to do, and I say, okay, fine, I want to get this thing off the ground. People do their calculations, the nerds go and crunch the numbers, and they say, sir, you need 35 million rand to get this thing off the ground. Who's giving me, as an unknown first time, I've just done this thing, who's giving me 35 million rand in this climate?
Yes, so a few things, right? Step back. So you told me that you saw a field.
We're in a consultation, right? Now.
Yes, a few things. So let's step back. You said you saw a field and you bought it. In our sector in South Africa, you actually don't even need to own the land in order to apply for a right. So if you had said to me, I saw a piece of land, I saw my neighbor's land, you could actually even apply on someone else's land for a mining right. So some people are always, are discouraged from entering the mining sector because they just the thought of having to raise funding to acquire land is just daunting. You don't need to own the land. Step one. So that maybe will remove your 35 million to maybe what, 30 million? and then we've also just recently written an article. So Stephen Coe, and the article is how to apply for a mining right in South Africa, for example. And it's an article like that we've recently written in order to guide people so that they know on how to apply for a mining right. The important thing is that you want to secure your rights before you approach funding, because no one is going to fund a project that is not bankable. And for the project to be bankable, you need to have many factors in place, including the rights that you intend to exercise. And so I would actually say to you, I think a starting place would be, Mudiwa, let's look at where we can apply for your mining right. And let's say you've seen this land here in Gauteng. I'll say to you, look, wonderful. There's a regional office of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy in Braamfontein. Here is a list of all the things you need to do and put together in order to submit your application. And let's go, you know. Mm. And sometimes as you're looking at that application and as you're seeing all of the documents that you need to put together, you'll realize, ish, I actually don't have the funding to do this. And then again, I would advise you, I'd say, okay, do you need a business partner? Do you actually want to fund you? Do you want us to approach the IDC? The IDC, because of its developmental objectives, its terms for lending are not as harsh as you would an ordinary bank. And so we would have those discussions. Then I would encourage you to say, okay, let's go to the Junior Indaba next week. Let's network, Modiwa, with some of the people. Let's show them, put together a document that details exactly what the finding is, what the reserve is, and let's go and market your project and see who'd be interested in it. Because here's the thing, when funding goes into a mining project, it's there to actually create value and it's going to make money for you and your investor or lender at the end of the day. And so it's a win-win situation when you pitch it right.
Yeah, that's actually a solid, I feel like I said just now, I felt like we're now in a consultation. And, you know, just the notes that I've taken from this consultation, you know, that sounds like a solid plan, you know, for us to get this, coal mine, off the ground. Mihlali, before I let you go, because you know so much and because of this consultation that we've done, either in your own personal capacity or as Sitef & Co., any interest on your end in terms of getting into actual mining, or do you sort of see yourself staying in that specific part of the ecosystem on the advisory side?
Yo, I always say never say never, you know, so I'm always open. You never say never, I'm always open. And I think that's the beauty of the sector. You know, that's the beauty of the sector. But certainly Steph & Co. is going to be around supporting the mining and energy sectors and providing excellent legal services. So we're here for that, right? But in terms of actually going into mining myself, I never say never.
All right, cool. So never say never. That's where we end off today's discussion. It has really been a great one. Just talking to Mihlali about what's going on in the mining sector in South Africa and, you know, more specifically, junior mining in the country. Mining is probably a mainstay in South Africa. Depending on the year, you're looking at roughly 6 to 8%, you know, contribution to GDP. Still one of South Africa's anchor industries, as it's still a huge employer and still, you know, something that is helping to feed many families, you know, across South Africa. Just talking about what it takes to actually get our mine off the ground. That was a really great, scenario that we got from Mihlali at the end there, just giving us some insight into, you know, if someone is actually looking to start a mine, what are some of the processes that a person, you know, needs to go through. And I think for myself, it's quite enlightening to hear that you actually don't even need to own the land. You can actually apply, you know, to prospect, you know, on land that you don't own. So that takes out, part of the cost burden that would normally be associated with that type of activity. Also, I guess, distinguishing between what large-scale mining and junior mining, and Mihlali giving us that insight to say that, you know, you can't just bucket junior mining and say and call them SMEs. There's a lot more that actually goes into, considering the type of mining activity that falls under, junior mining. And it was also great to, hear some of the activity that is going on with CTEF and Co. That is Mihlali's firm. She says that they have clients, across the board from some of the large scale miners as well as some of the junior miners, lending itself to her previous experience in a large law firm, and also at the same time some of the big issues that are affecting miners, across the board. So that's been it. It has been a great discussion. We're talking to Mihlali Stefane, who is the founder of CTEF and Co. Mihlali, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Modiwa, and I hope to see you next year at the Junior Indaba.
Definitely. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.